From Courtside of the Virtual Hardwood, it's the NLSC Podcast, episode number 361. Andrew with you once again. I am Andrew in the forum and Andrew NLSC on Twitter. My co-host and fellow NLSC team member is Derek. You know him as DV3 in the forum and DV384 on Twitter.
Oh, happy to be here again. I have some good news and some bad news. The good news is my brothers and I have two brothers, as some of the listeners may know, and we finished a NBA 2K17 season, a full season, for the first time, all playing on the same team. All 82 games, full 48-minute games each time. I would lock on Kobe. It was a fantasy draft, all-time fantasy draft. I locked on Kobe. My brother Nick locked on Kevin Garnett. My brother Mark used the rest of the team, and we did that for every game during the season. It took a few months, but we finished it. So that's the good news, and we're super excited. We went 82-0. We played it on Hall of Fame, etc. The bad news is, did you realize that NBA 2K17 had an assist cap? Basically, what happens is the game doesn't allow you to get more than 2,047 assists. And I know that seems like a lot, but when you're playing all on the same team and you're having a fun season, like we were, my assists capped out. I was averaging over 30 a game with Kobe, and because I was running point, my assists capped out at 2,047 at game like 72. So for the last 10 games, every single assist that I got didn't count towards my stats.
That's weird. It's I mean, obviously a programming issue, but that's kind of a weird number to cap at.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And it doesn't happen with rebounds. There's no cap with steals that we could find, blocks. There was no cap with scoring. I averaged 50.7 to break Chamberlain's record of 50.4. There was an assist cap. So I ended the season with 25 assists per game because I didn't count my assists in the last 10 games. But I sent you some screenshots of it. One of the reasons why I wanted to bring this up, too, for the intro is, people, it's okay to have fun with these games. Loose fun, you know, it's okay to have an arcade aspect of it. You know, we were beating teams by we were scoring about 189 points per game, beating teams by 40 points per game because it was the three of us on the same team. And you know Walter McCarty in the season averaged about 21 points per game, etc. Like, it's okay to have fun with these games. It doesn't always need to be sim. It doesn't always need to be serious. We had a blast.
Well, you know, you mentioned that the other stats weren't capped, so I thought maybe it's a file size or byte size, something like that. But if the other stats aren't being capped that way, then it strikes me that it isn't that the issue. So that is very strange. And to your point, I totally agree. You know, I consider myself on the side of sim as far as sim gamers go. Of course, back in episode 332, we did the measure of a sim gamer, where we talked about what qualifies as a sim gamer and how there's wiggle room either way and when it comes to having fun. And look, I'm not sure if we said it then, and I think we did touch on that point during that discussion, but if we didn't say it then, I'm going to say it now, is, like you said, you do what it takes to have fun. You can push the boundaries, especially in a situation like you have, where it's already a fantasy situation with all kinds of players from all different eras playing on a team that they didn't play for. If you're already setting up a fantasy, there's no harm in fact, there's never any harm in stretching the bounds of reality. My second season of my NBA Live 06 Dynasty with the Bulls, which I've talked about before, where I had Sean Kemp make a comeback in year one, went 82-0 in the second year, as you did. I had Ben Gordon have all kinds of quadruple doubles and scored 92 points in a game. In fact, he's in that game, he and Kobe combined for 100 points, 92 by Ben Gordon and 8 by Kobe. So, kind of a bit backwards there, I suppose. But anyway, look, I like aiming for realism and setting up the game in a realistic way, but I think there's also some fun in just running with it and just having some fun. And a lot of people do have fun, and I have had fun as well, trying to keep things realistic, and especially in the older games when you really have to, it kind of became a game to make them more realistic sometimes. But as you said, the point is to simply have fun. Have whatever's fun to you is what matters at the end of the day, and it's not none of our places to instruct each other how to play.
Yeah, and I want to make a point too. Like you, and you've seen it. You'd like, and I I welcome anybody to go onto my YouTube channel and check the gameplay videos of my brothers playing against each other. When we're playing against each other with, like, an Ultimate Classic Teams roster, or when we're using now teams like we did in NBA 2K20 for about a 20-game season or whatnot, we got about 20 games in, we do play that way. We play sim. We've been – my brother and I have been complimented endlessly on our YouTube videos for how we play and how realistic we play with the teams. And, you know, when my brother was using, you know, Westbrook and Harden on the Rockets, the way he would drive and kick and the way he would run plays, the specific plays they ran and all of that stuff. Like, we've received compliments. But like I said, it is okay to let loose. It is okay to have those games where Dan Dickow back in the day scored 100 points. It's fun memories. You know, the last game of the we wanted to beat Wilt Chamberlain's scoring average. You know, the best single season average ever. The last game of the season, I had to score 94 points with Kobe. I ended up scoring 118, I think, to beat the record. But that was fun. Like, they were just trying to feed me all game and stuff like that. And it's okay to have fun with games. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm the same way. I'm a sim gamer when I'm playing against, when I'm playing a season that welcomes a sim atmosphere, etc. But at the same time, I can let loose. And I wish more gamers could do that, to be completely honest with you, because it is fun. And it, like we've talked about before, it does create video game legends. In fact, we loaded this team up with some of the past video game legends. Walter McCarty, Walter Herman. He's on that team as well. Some players that we have cyberfaces for and everything, because I'm on PC. Troy Murphy. Video game legend for us. He's on that team. We have Orlando Woolridge on the team. Like, we just have so many different ones from the past. But yeah, it's okay to let loose. It's okay to have fun.
It definitely is, and that's what it should be all about. And that's why I also advocate in that vein that if you're not enjoying a certain mode, as I was not enjoying online, or certainly had soured on the experience, to stop. And it can be difficult when you have enjoyed an experience to let go of it, because you know how fun it can be. But when it's knowing when to let go, and I suppose this is not to get too deep and philosophical, but it's good life advice in general. But certainly when it comes to basketball video games, if you're not enjoying what you're playing and there's something else that that tickles your fancy as far as modes go, give that a try. And I've been playing a lot of My Team lately, and really enjoying that, and rather than playing my career for so many years, so that's been very refreshing. But what I've been doing, Derek, is, adding to the collection. I got Slam City with Scottie Pippen. I know you're a fan of that.
I got to tell you something about Slam City. I don't care what anybody says. I know that the gameplay isn't the best ever, but what they did with that game, that's a big part of my childhood. What they did with that game blew us away at the time, and it still kind of blows me away now because we don't really have anything like it. I'm still impressed with that game.
It was creative use of the technology at the time, no question. Also,
it's cheesy as hell.
It is, yeah, but that's kind of the charm as well, and also got Slam and Jam '96 for PlayStation, which is the one with Magic and Kareem, of course, and no other real players. The other thing I've been doing is, of course, pulling out some old games to do some research for future articles, Friday Fives, topics including my ongoing series of players in more video games than NBA games played. There's quite a lot of them, Derek. You go back and look at the rosters. For various games back in the day, the players that were included because, of course, they were signed rookies that had signed on, but then it never ended up playing. From around about the Live 2005 era, Rashad Wright, Tim Pickett, Ricky Minard, David Young, even up to 2K9, a Brandon Wallace, Mark Hughes in NBA Action 98, and even Frederick Weiss in Fox Sports NBA Basketball 2000, who, of course, infamously was dunked on by Vince Carter during the 2000 Olympics in Sydney. It's, that's I believe, he's his only official video game appearance, possibly. And certainly, he was signed at one point and included in the roster, but then didn't make it to the NBA, never played a minute. So, yeah, it's kind of cool to see these players make these video game appearances without actually playing in the NBA.
Well, I want to say a couple things. First off, Frederick Weiss, I watched, like, a couple stories on him, read some articles, and watched as many highlights as I could. It's too bad he didn't come over, because he could play. I want to point that out. And the Vince Carter thing, he's talked about it before, and that was devastating for him, what happened and the negative attention
that
he got after that. So I do feel bad about that. But I did want to ask you about Slam City. Did you get a chance to you know, really put some time into it. And I agree with you. You talked about how it's cheesy, but it's good. That's one of the best parts about that game.
It is.
It is so 90s. It is ridiculous from the outfits, the atmosphere.
Yeah. It's like NBA Live 97's menus on PC. It is the ultimate 90s. It is the 90s in video game form, quite frankly. I haven't played it extensively. I've had a couple of goes at that first game against, Fingers?
Fingers is the first one, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm still getting used to the whole concept and everything. And, of course, he blew by me and threw down the same dunk because you've only got so many video clips. But it is a cool concept. I want to spend more time on it because I do want to do a Way Back Wednesday on it when I get a chance to play it fully. Thinking of a video feature for that one, Derek, because you have to show the video. Like you say, the cheesy ambiance, the players, the chatter, let's see what you got and all that stuff, all those cutscenes. You have to show that game off. But I got that for a steal. I got that for actually under $100. It often goes for much more. I got it complete in box. It's got all the feelies, all the inserts and the cards and everything that came with it. I was quite happy to get that, a complete in box in very good condition actually for a pretty good flea market price.
Yeah, see, and I think that's great. I grew up with it on Sega CD, so you have a different version
a PC,
than
yeah,
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had it on Sega CD, and it blew us away. Games we had for Sega CD was like that one, Sewer Shark, which I still think is an underrated game. It was fun. I know Josh and Dave remember Sewer Shark. I loved it. We had NBA Jam for Sega CD, which I think is one of the best versions as well. But, Slam City stands the test of time, and it's, in my opinion, and one of the things that I like about a game like that is because of the character buildup and the cheesiness, the story and all of that stuff, you want to prove these guys wrong and you want to beat them. Mm. And I think that's cool. It makes you want to progress in the game because the way you get trash-talked by Fingers and the way you get trash-talked by the sideline characters and all of that stuff, like, basically it's like, you know what? Screw you. I'm going to beat you and I'm going to move
yeah,
on.
Exactly.
So, like, for me, it adds to the immersion.
No question at all. And it kind of reminds me of those scenes. Did you ever get, back in the day, like a MSN internet setup disc where it's all kind of this cheesy, welcome to the internet and all this kind of thing. You meet all these different characters that are going to take you through connecting to the internet and things like that. It was a very, again, mid to late 90s idea of the interactive movie kind of thing. And it's not the only one. It wasn't the first of its kind and wasn't the last. But it's definitely a sign of the times, and we've got a CD-ROM. We don't have to put everything on a cartridge or a floppy disk. As it is, it has four, count them, four CD-ROMs for PC.
Yeah, I do remember those, and I remember AOL had one too with like this Welcome to AOL.
Yep.
And it had these characters and all of that stuff. I remember that. I do want to bring up too before I forget about it. Slam and Jam 96 is underrated. What people need to realize about that game is, In a way, I look at the graphics and I almost think it's ahead of its time. I know that sounds ridiculous, but it only had Magic and Kareem as real players. And Magic and Kareem were retired at that time. I think Magic had announced his final retirement at that point. I'd have to see when the release date was for that game, but obviously Kareem had been retired since 1989. And that game plays really well, in my opinion. I think that game's kind of fun.
It is. It's very solid. In fact, the PC version, because I had the demo back in the day, I tried to hex edit it, and you can actually change the names of the players. And the fact that there's a number 42 on that team, on Magic and Kareem's team, that looks very James that Worthy. Has got goggles and has number 42, and you can change his name to James Worthy. Just saying, if you edit that externally.
See, that's cool. See, I didn't even know that. And I would absolutely look into doing something like that because they did that same thing with Double Dribble Playoff Edition for Sega Genesis where they have the power forward is named Bolf, B-O-L-F, on the Chicago team, but he's got goggles. Like, he looks just like Horace Grant.
Yep.
And I've always wanted to, go into that game and change his name to H. Grant. And, do the same thing with Pete Pavich, their shooting guard, who's bald and looks like Jordan. I've always wanted to do that and go back in there and, make it real.
It's the super dunk shot of its that's what we had back in the day. It's fun, but yeah, I guess that's what we've been doing on the virtual hardwood recently. We have some exciting news, I guess, to discuss this week, Derek. Well, possibly if you consider the possible ramifications for basketball games, we will be talking about the possible return of college basketball, and of course the hopeful return of NBA Live in the wake of EA Sports announcing that their college football series will be coming back. We'll be also talking a bit about our own history with playing college basketball titles. In the mailbag this week, we'll be talking about the G League, a possible G League mode, and also what it would take to invoke real change for the NBA 2K series. Lots of great questions coming in that we're keeping in the bag, Derek, to roll over to future shows. But yeah, some exciting news, and of course, another great mailbag. So it's going to be a pretty good show, I think.
Our listeners pump me up every time I see another question. We just have so many awesome questions, and you know, we're getting hit in different areas with those questions, sometimes personally, sometimes, you know, via DM, a text, you know, off of the Twitter, off of Facebook, etc. So thank you again, because we do this show for you guys. Like, if it was just Andrew and I talking, we wouldn't do the show every week. So we're doing this for you guys. So we definitely appreciate the questions and all the interaction and whatnot.
No question. And we welcome your feedback on the show and your mailbag submissions, whether they be topic suggestions or questions, any way you can get with us. You can also now email us at podcast@nba-live.com. I've set up that email for us as well. Or hit us up in the forum or the comment section on the main posts of the NLSC, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, wherever you can get in touch with us, you can let us know. But with that being said, Derek, yes, the big news over the past week is that EA Sports did announce that their college football series is coming back. They did specifically say college football and not NCAA football. We'll be getting into that. But it's obviously excited a lot of people. There are some people who are skeptical because, of course, not everybody is happy with the Madden series at the moment, and they don't want it just to be a reskin of Madden. They want something different, certainly something better, if nothing else. But there's still excitement around it. And, of course, to that point, we're seeing them resurrect a series like college football. So obviously the attention turns to basketball gaming in our community, where we wonder, okay, is NBA Live going to come back? Because they haven't really said anything about that. We've talked before about how we think it's probably going to be in the next couple of years that it comes back. And of course, the possibility of college basketball coming back as well, once NBA Live has established itself, or indeed alongside with it. So definitely exciting times, and the mind reels with the possibilities. But yeah, it's cool to see one series come back, and the fact that it's given us some hope that they're actually going to put some effort into series that have been lying dormant is definitely good news, or at least encouraging news to get in 2021.
They were big hits. The college basketball games that we had via, whether it was, you know, 2K's college basketball series or if it was March Madness and whatnot, there was a large player base for those games. Same with like college football and whatnot. And, you know, a lot of people find college sports, you know, especially college basketball, more exciting than the pro level. And, you know, it gives people other options. I think it's awesome that they came out with that news. Like you said, they say college instead of NCAA, which is fine, because as long as the teams can sign on and they can sign up, you know, get their real logos, their jerseys, and all of that stuff, I mean, that is enough immersion for them to make a full college basketball game. So yeah, I think it's going to be great for football. I think it's going to be great for basketball, and people have been really looking forward to this for a long time because it's been at least a decade.
Yeah, 14 was the last college football one, but 10 was the last EA college basketball game, and of course College Hoops 2K8 back in 2007 was the last 2K college basketball game. So yeah, over a decade now.
Yeah, it's crazy. And you know, I had March Madness 10, which is basically NBA Live 10 mechanics and whatnot, and I think it was March Madness 10, right?
NCAA basketball 09 and 10.
Not March.
So yeah, that's they rebranded. They dropped the March Madness moniker.
Right,
after,
it wasn't Blake
Griffin on 10. Yeah, that's him. Yep.
On 10, yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, so I had that game, and it was the NBA Live 10, you know, gameplay engine and whatnot. Mm-hmm. That game played really well.
It does, yeah. I played it recently.
Right.
It's
good.
On the point of the NCAA licensing, they, again, as we said, college football, so they're not licensing the NCAA. There is a problem there, and it does stem from the lawsuit, the Ed O'Bannon lawsuit back in the day, that the NCAA has pulled out of that agreement. They don't really want to get involved with that. They are changing rules with the NCAA in over the past decade or so, where they're looking at letting college players sign endorsement deals and make some money, because goodness knows colleges make money off their student-athletes, and the whole South Park episode, student-athletes, about that.
Let's ask Ed O'Bannon about that.
Mm. Yeah. So it's going to be, anything is going to be college football or college basketball when it comes back, which is fine. It just means that instead of having that NCAA branding, you won't be going for the NCAA championship, you'll be going for the college basketball championship or the college championship. Look, which is fine, because as far as I can see, they will be able to license schools much the same way that 2K has been able to do through the collegiate licensing company. It means they have to pay to the licensing fees to the individual schools. Not sure what's going to happen with the players. Possibly that might come under the endorsement contracts, so they might be able to sign the players, or maybe the school can negotiate something on their behalf. I'm not totally sure about that, but from the looks of things, they will actually at least be able to get schools into the game, which is the important thing, because otherwise it kind of defeats the purpose of it. Whether they do that as a PC release, in fact, that's actually a point, because the college hoops, well, of course, until 2K9, no 2K basketball games were on PC, NBA 2K9, of course, but because it wasn't on PC, and this is actually going to get into something that the Daryl on Facebook, shout out to you, has been asking us to discuss college basketball series, and the opportunity has presented itself quite fortunately here. Because it hasn't come out on PC, it's been much harder to import for someone like me outside of North America, because those games were not licensed to be released outside of United States and Canada. So for the rest of us, if you didn't have a modded console, or later on a PS3, which I now have but didn't then, you couldn't import the college games. So for many years, I couldn't play college basketball games because they didn't release them in Australia or Europe, any PAL regions. And unless you had that modded console or universal adapter for the Super Nintendo games like NCAA Basketball, the one you played and the one that I know is World League Basketball, and of course the aforementioned Super Dunk Shot in Japan, unless you had the means of importing it, you couldn't play them. So my history with college basketball games is actually quite recent.
Oh, that's wild. I didn't even know that. But I wanted to touch on this really quick, because this is not breaking news, obviously, but, you know, the people who work for the NCAA and who are decision makers, they're cheap. Yeah, so that's why this is happening and why you can't use the NCAA and all of that stuff. But anyway, the point is that to give you an idea of my experience with the NCAA, I haven't had any of those issues or anything like that. I own them, and that's why I kept referencing March Madness. I own the March Madness games when they were called March Madness, and I've never been a huge college basketball guy, but it was always about collecting it and having another basketball game choice and whatnot. So, yeah, I never had to run into that like you did.
Mm.
But, you know, we've talked about this before, you know, and for these people asking these questions, EA Sports has started releasing their games on PC again, and we talked about, you know, they've been doing it since Madden 18 now. Madden 18, 19, 20, etc. has been released on PC. I would not be shocked to see, you know, if they come back with the NBA title and the college basketball title, I would not be shocked to see them on Origin, you know, for the PC, and then you wouldn't have that issue.
Oh,
right?
Of course. And now if it's not going to be NCAA, but rather just simply college football, and possibly college basketball in the future, you're not going to have that international licensing rights issue with the NCAA. So presumably, yes, you can do that international release, and you can put it on PC, which will obviously facilitate importing and activating in different regions. So much the better.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they have to come to PC, especially with a college basketball game. I know that sounds ridiculous, but if they're going to come to PC with a college basketball game, and let's say they don't add the real players, let's say they decide, you know what, this is too much work or too much money in order to get all the real players on board. Because as people know, they've made agreements in ways where, you know, players can now kind of get compensated for their likeness or whatnot, or they can sign a waiver to, you know, to allow these games to use their likeness and whatnot. But let's say they don't, and let's say they go the route that they have in the past, either using fake names or just using numbers, etc. hey, if it's on PC and they don't give us the, in, you know, console users, they don't get the ability to edit those names, that would be unfortunate and whatnot. On PC, we can mod it. And we could, you know, give more exposure to the game and whatnot. And we can mod in the real players and mod in their names and their faces and all of that stuff.
Absolutely. And to Daryl's point that he brought up on Facebook, if there was a PC release of 2K back in the day, College Hoops 2K or NCAA March Madness, certainly there would have been a modding community set up around it, much like there was for NBA Live and later NBA 2K, and they probably still would be getting a lot of play these days. As it is, there are still people who are making some updates, maybe not in the last couple of years, but I have seen in the last decade a lot of people still making custom rosters, editing all the names of the players for at least College Hoops and probably March Madness as well, because I've seen some of them being sold on a USB drive on eBay when I was looking to import those games. This is another opportunity for us to say that we do not support paying mods in the NLSC community, but nevertheless, on eBay it does happen. So it definitely would be a modding community, either using the in-game assets, in-game editing, or if we had greater access to a PC version, being able to do custom faces and whatnot, so we could really use it. So it absolutely would be getting more attention these days. And I imagine there would be a renaming function, an auto-generate name function for the players if they can't license real ones. But as far as the college games go, the things that, having played some of them more recently in recent years, is something that I've noticed is they're not necessarily a complete, just a straight-up reskin of the NBA game's engine. You do see some different mechanics, like you have the intensity meter in NCAA March Madness 08. You've got the tempo in 09 and 10, where you have to control the game speed, and you can even change your preferred tempo on the fly so that you can continue to play the way you want and control the tempo. And when you control the tempo of the game, when you're either pushing the ball or playing half court or having that balance, whatever your ideal set or your set tempo is, you will get the shooting boosts and you'll create more turnovers. But if you're not controlling the tempo, your field goal percentage will drop and you'll commit more turnovers rather than force them. So that's a mechanic that the NCAA series had that NBA Live didn't, for example. And I haven't spent as much time with College Hoops 2K7 and 8 as yet, but I believe there are also similar mechanics there that make it stand out and just represent the college game a little bit more. And some of those ideas could be used in the NBA games as well, but there's some interesting ideas. But you can see how the engine has been reworked to suit the college game.
Yeah, and obviously you have your different play sets too, and whatnot that teams run. I mean, the base game, the gameplay mechanics, like how you do crossovers, how you go behind the back, the basic controls, you know, most of the animations and stuff, they're going to be basic. They're going to be mostly the same if, you know, if they're using, like, say, the NBA's engine and whatnot. But like you said, there's still a lot of things that stand out about the gameplay that make it a unique experience. Like if I play, let's put it this way, when my brother and I were playing, you know, if you play a game of NCAA Basketball 10 and then you go and try to play NBA Live 10, even though most of the mechanics are the same, there's still enough difference between the two where you're saying, hey, you know what, I'm playing an NBA game now and I was definitely just playing a college game.
Yeah, that's what you want to see. You know, I think that's what a lot of people want to see with college football when it comes back, is that they don't want it just to be a reskin Madden. And I understand that because, I mean, I can't really comment on American football as I'm... You know, and I say this just before the Super Bowl, of course, so great timing there. But with basketball, you can tell the difference between the two, the pro game and the collegiate game. And to have that difference on the virtual hardwood as well is so important. Because, I mean, look, I don't want to disparage NCAA mods and foreign league mods and everything for NBA Live and NBA 2K, because people have done some fantastic work with that over the years. But there are some limitations. So it's cool to see actual changes to the engine. And these different mechanics come in the college games that do make a stand out. Like you say, you play Live 10 and NCAA Basketball 10, and there is that familiarity. But you're like, oh, there's no intensity in Live 10. And of course, you've been live in NCAA Basketball 10. You've also got that you had the dual networks. You had NCAA on CBS and on ESPN. So you actually had two different presentations that would be randomly chosen. It was very cool.
Well, a couple things I want to bring up, and I think you'll remember this. NBA Live 96, even, its college counterpart was Coach K College Basketball.
Yep.
Even back then, you still saw some differentiations. But one of the biggest one was in Coach K College Basketball, you could shatter the glass.
I was going to say, yeah. It's a little thing, but it stands out.
Right. Yep, exactly. You couldn't do it in the NBA portion, but on Coach K College Basketball, you could shatter the glass, and you'd always try to do it, and it was a fun aspect of the game that you couldn't get in the NBA title. I also wanted to point out, too, about modding. You know, we talk about how it's going to be probably, if they come back with it, it would be called College Basketball, 2021 or whatever. But if it does come to PC and we are allowed to mod, that means we can put the NCAA, you know,
sure.
Their logo on the jerseys, if they're on the jerseys. We can put it in the menus. We can put it in the title screen. We can create our own title screens and everything. You can make that just like a full-fledged NCAA, fully licensed game and just put NCAA all over it.
Exactly.
So like, people will jump all over a college basketball game on PC. Can you imagine what the compute community is going to do with that game?
Oh, it would be fantastic.
It'd be ridiculous.
And the other thing is, because the collegiate game does have more similarities with some of the international game, you could even use that engine, reskin it. Imagine reskinning it and making it into an NBA game, or an NBL game, or a EuroLeague game. I mean, that would be crazy.
And you know people will do it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we see the craziest ideas and the craziest mods go out there. And, I mean, they do that with the NBA game. They're like, you know what? We're going to make a full, and DeCrispy's one of them. You know, we're going to make a full college basketball game. And not only are, you know, we're going to make the courts, we're going to make the stadiums, we're going to make, you know, the Jumbotron, we're going to make everything look just like the college basketball game, all the jerseys, all of that stuff. And then at the same time, they'll put the quarters at 10 minutes a quarter, all of this stuff. They make it as close to a real college basketball experience as possible. And I've seen these gameplay videos for these mods, and it's like, this looks just like a real college basketball game. They have the CBS scoreboard. The NCAA on CBS scoreboard and all of that stuff—it just looks awesome.
No question, but it would be hilariously ironic, I think, that if we did get a college basketball game for PC and people were modding it into an NBA game. After all the years of making NBA games into college basketball games, to make a college basketball game into an NBA game would be quite funny. But I'd love to see it. I hope it does. Do hope that it comes back and that it's widely available. On the note, of course, you brought up Coach K College Basketball. Back in the day and being able to shatter the backboard. Have you seen the glitch on YouTube, or maybe you've performed it yourself, where you can dunk on that broken backboard or try to dunk on that broken backboard again?
Oh, yeah. No, that happened to us. Yeah, no, it's definitely something that happened to us. And it only happened to us a couple times. But, and I can't remember what team was I using with that. Regardless, yeah, there's definitely a glitch where what happens is the hoop stays shattered.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks pretty funny. I've seen clips on YouTube. I don't have a Sega a Genesis or a Mega Drive as it was here in Australia, so I haven't been able to import that yet. But maybe one day. Always on the lookout for cheap collectibles, so we'll see. We mentioned the Ed O'Bannon lawsuit, and it came about because for March Madness 08 and NCAA Basketball 09, they had classic teams. And all-time in 08, all-time teams as well, but classic teams in 08 and 09 that were once again made up of generic players. But you look at who they are and what their numbers are and what their stats are and what their bio data is, and you can tell who it is. It's they really did push their luck with it, and it did lead to the lawsuit, which has led to the current situation. And the lawsuit didn't actually prevent the creation of college basketball games. It's just the situation with the fallout with the NCAA didn't want to be involved anymore, and certainly they had to tread more carefully. Understandably so, when you see how former college athletes have been treated. But yeah, it's funny to go back and look at your 1982 Tar Heels and just see number 23, totally not Michael Jordan, but totally is, or the 95 UCLA Bruins with Ed O'Bannon himself, number 31, totally not Ed O'Bannon, except it totally is. And they even had a historical tournament in 09, really pushing their luck with it by pushing the historical teams full of fictional players that looked way too much like their real-life counterparts, really. Or at least you knew who they were supposed to be. Without, there wasn't much ambiguity there. They really did push their luck with it, and it's kind of a shame that they did, because that was a cool idea. And, of course, NBA 2K has done their historical challenge modes and whatnot in all kinds of historical content that is actually viable, being NBA players. But that's another cool feature that stood out in the college games at that time, because at that time, NBA Live wasn't doing historical content.
Who thought that was a good idea to try that? Yeah. Try to get away with that? Like, who? I mean, how could you even...
No one talked to a lawyer, that's for sure.
Yeah, like it just blows my mind that they would even think that at, you know, a game so popular from a AAA company coming out, like you said, the audacity to even run tournaments, like advertise tournaments on it
and
all of
mode,
that stuff. Yeah, tournament mode and all of that stuff. Yeah, that just blows my mind. And, you know, I want to point out, too, that this happening could be the perfect storm in a good way for EA Sports. If they're the first ones who come out with a college basketball game, and that leads people to also take interest in a new NBA game from them, that could put EA Sports right back on the map. So I think that you don't waste time on this, and maybe they're not already. I mean, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but you can almost be sure that if they're talking about college football, that they also bring up basketball, and that they can use some of the information they gathered for their football title to possibly use in making a basketball title, like that knowledge that they gained.
For sure.
I think that it could be a huge deal. And if 2K doesn't get the jump on them, which they're really good at sometimes, if 2K doesn't get the jump on them, that EA Sports releasing a college basketball game first could put them right back on the map.
Yeah, I would love to see it. I do think that we're more likely to see NBA Live come back first, but obviously they are testing the waters with another college sports game. The fact that we're simply talking about it, that there's buzz, that there is going to be a college football game at some point in the future, has to bode well, I would imagine. Of course, as we said, there has been some discussion of NBA Live coming back and people saying, oh, well, you know, next is Live, or of course the college basketball games, but a lot of people saying, well, Live is next. And there's been some pushback on it, and I will, once again, a cheap plug in advance of my Monday tip-off coming next week, where I'll be talking about this in more detail, about some of the opinions that people are sharing and whatnot. But as always, when people say that there's interest in NBA Live, there's always people trying to shoot it down. There's the pushback on it. And it's frustrating to see, because if you look, Derek, at a lot of the conversation with basketball gaming these days, we've talked about 2K fatigue before. I think we talked about it last week as well, that it is real. It does exist. People are tired of it. They want an alternative. People are going back to NBA Live 19, as we said last week. People are going back to NBA 2K20. Every time there are issues brought up in forums and on Reddit and on social media, frustrations with 2K, people say, what are people saying? They're saying they want NBA Live back, or, you know, I wish we had an alternative, and NBA Live is probably going to be the only one realistically that it's going to be. And yet some people are just trying to dance on NBA Live's grave and say, no, it shouldn't come back, and there's no good argument about it, you know, from a wider community stance. If people are going to want to argue that they have no interest in supporting EA or playing NBA Live again, I do get that, Derek. I totally do, because the series has struggled and EA has burned people. Totally get it. But to say that there's no need for it at all, and that you don't want to see it come back, or that people shouldn't want it, and that they're foolish for wanting it, is just so arrogant, it's so short-sighted, so wrong, I think, when there are so many issues with 2K, as good as it is, and has been, that it's so important, as we've said so many times, to have that alternative, to have a choice, and that it won't hurt anyone who wants to stick with 2K to have NBA Live there as well, unless they're hanging their hat on being able to bash NBA Live and laugh at it, and point at it and laugh and say, look, it's gone. That's the only reason you should not want NBA Live to come back. And that's a dumb, myopic, elitist, gatekeeping, just a terrible reason all around.
I mean, you know some of my feelings on this, but I have a few things I want to say. So when you look at people commenting on, you know, about NBA 2K21 and about the 2K series, you see far more negative comments than you do positive. And, you know, I absolutely hate when people say the thing, well, people just love to complain. That's number one. Or number two is, you'll always see more comments like that because people aren't going to go on there and say that they love the game. Listen, there is ample evidence out there that is completely false. You know, look at games out there like Remnant from the Ashes, or some of the, like, some non-basketball games or non-sports games. Look at games out there like NBA 2K16 and 2K15 and 2K14 and 13 and stuff. You know it as well as I do because you were around for it. You can still find those reviews online, whether it be on Metacritic or you know, on old Operation Sports threads and all of that stuff, there was more positive than there was negative. And in some of these games, it's very positive and overwhelmingly positive comments that dominate. People going online and screaming their praises. People, most of the time, don't just go online to complain. They're complaining because something is frustrating them.
The mood has changed, yeah. There has been that shift in opinion.
And it's very obvious. But people love to shill. And we talked about shilling. And you wrote an article on shilling and all of that stuff. And some of these people who shill are not only incredibly immature, but they work for a review company. They'll either, whether it's Forbes or IGN or something like that, they work for, you know, a company that where they review games, where they're hired to review games, and they're supposed to be an unbiased resource for the community and supposed to write unbiased articles. And they're out there saying, absolutely shilling for 2K or shilling for, you know, a person or something like they are, you know, like a game maker or something like that. Like, they are compromised in a way. And it's funny because these people who say, who wants live, or, you know, who really wants that or anything like that. And I said this in a thread, if those people felt like it would better their careers and, like, let's say live caught on and people loved NBA Live, if they thought it was better for their careers, they would be the first person off of 2K's boat shilling on NBA Live. On EA Sports.
I do say this. Sorry to interrupt. I do say this in the article tomorrow. I go into more detail on it. But frankly, those people, if it does come to that, I would love to see EA just say, no, you've bashed us for years. You downplayed this. You said that we should stay dead. You don't get perks and access. We are going to work with the people who have supported Live, or at least the people who are open to it and are not there bashing us. I would love to see these people left out in the cold because they absolutely deserve it. 100%.
Well, I completely agree. And let me make a point, too. Anybody that says, who are we? Who wants NBA Live? Everybody, whether they say they do or not, it benefits everybody. Having more options in the space, more competition in that space for 2K, you know, having, you know, giving people, you know, more options is a positive thing.
Yeah.
No matter what, consumers. 100%. There is no... And I'm sorry I'm getting animated here to anybody who's listening. Like this stuff is just getting ridiculous. I'm seeing people go on there and say, you know, like, you know, what does Live coming back benefit anybody? How does that benefit? It is the most common sense thing ever. More options means, you know, there's more options for the consumers. There's, you know, there's more... For, you know, for reviewers, there's more games to review, but there's more competition in that space. They can have 2K up their game and may make 2K try to be more innovative. We've talked about how the gameplay on NBA 2K has kind of gotten stale. A lot of people have talked about it. They're like, man, I'm sick of this gameplay. This gameplay feels very similar year in and year out. It's gotten stale, etc. There's issues with microtransactions. Maybe a company comes in and makes a game, like maybe EA Sports comes back and makes NBA Live, and like they do what they did with Live 19, and they're fair to the gamer. And that makes more people happy. Like, and maybe it makes 2K question, if EA Sports NBA Live gets popular enough, maybe it makes NBA 2K question their aggressive microtransaction approach, and maybe it makes them lessen that approach. And that helps everybody.
Yeah.
That helps absolutely everybody. So I don't understand how people can't see. And I'd be doing the same thing, by the way, I want to point out to end this rant. If NBA Live was the dominant force right now, and it was NBA 2K who had been canceling for all of those years, and let's say even NBA Live was flourishing and they were making a great basketball game, and somebody said to me, hey, you know what? It looks like they're coming back with NBA 2K. What would I say? Great. Great. There's more options in the space now. They'll be able. It might make EA Sports with NBA Live, that series, be more innovative. It might make them do different things. It might make them up their game. It's great to have more options. This has nothing to do with EA Sports or being a Live, quote-unquote, Live fanboy or being a fan of the series back in the day or anything. More options are good for everybody.
Well, to that point, we do have a situation where it is EA with the control and 2K on the outside looking in with Madden. People have been saying that about Madden for years, that they want NFL 2K to come back, that the exclusive deal has not benefited football gaming. So we actually do have that example, and it's the same situation. We don't have an exclusive situation with the NBA, but it's a virtual monopoly with 2K's brand dominance and live struggles. But you definitely do see it with the shilling. You see the downplaying of the criticism, the trying to frame every kind of constructive criticism as, oh, everybody just likes to whine. It's all whining. It's no valid constructive criticism, or simply valid criticism, valid outrage, if you will, as the case may be. And it's always just a very gentle criticism, just to have those gentle token criticism so they don't look like a total shill, but it's still very obvious that they are. And again, I'll go into more detail in the Monday tip-off about this, but yeah, it's really disappointing to see, and it's because it's sometimes very influential voices that are saying it, and it frankly doesn't have the finger on the pulse of the community to say that nobody wants live or that there shouldn't be a live coming back. As far as the likelihood of any kind of basketball game from EA, this is a shout out to Cedric, who sent me this synopsis of some of comments that Andrew Wilson made. Andrew Wilson being the CEO these days of EA Sports. Mentioned on the conference call that acknowledged that EA Sports Basketball has underperformed, that they've been, that's been disappointing to them. Says they still have a relationship, good relationship with the NBA, remains committed to the basketball long term. So basketball games are going to come back, and there are going to be basketball games from EA at some point. And we've talked about this before, and you've mentioned that you feel that this year we're going to get that announcement about live at least, and I'm inclined to agree. And they're looking to come back. And of course, it's all words, and they're trying to put on the best face for investors. But the fact of the matter is they still have that relationship, that long-term relationship with the NBA. They still have the NBA license. I don't see them giving up on that yet, so we will see NBA Live. And maybe with this door opening, we will see college hoops, college basketball, EA college basketball, come back as college football is. But, I mean, those comments, I don't want to read too much into them, Derek, because, again, it is trying to put on a good face for investors. But they obviously do have that, again, they have that relationship with the NBA. It's been going on since the 80s. They've had that licensing agreement with the NBA, going back to Lakers versus Celtics. And there's been some ups and downs through the years. The NBA is not looking to do what the NFL did as far as going exclusive to 2K or anything like that. So, yeah, it remains to be seen when they come back and how good it will be. And, of course, it'll be a long road, I would imagine, to really get to where we want it to be, if especially the last generation is anything to go by. But, yeah, that they are still committed to basketball in some respect. And I don't think it's just going to be NBA Live Mobile.
Yeah, I want to go back really quick, and then I want to touch on that after. The comment that set me off, just to let people know, but we're talking about the shilling and whatnot, is a person commented that on Twitter that they said, I think this was what the comment was, it said, for those people frustrated with 2K, we really want to see NBA Live come back. He made a comment like that. And the shill, the person that I'm talking about, who is an influencer who gets millions of impressions over time and gets hundreds of thousands of views on his reviews, who works for Forbes, made a comment that said, "Who are we? LOL." And we all know why he said that. And it's like, give me a break. Like you said, passive aggressive attacks and whatnot. It's like, you're supposed to be an unbiased source for the community. And you should be able to say, you know, your comment should be, you know, I think they have a long way to go, but it's always great to have more options in the space. Like, don't be an, like, his response is incredibly junior high. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. Anyway.
Well, just one point there. Like I said, it's from that attitude is from people who want to, they've delighted in bashing NBA Live for years. And if they have to turn around and then eat their words, that's a bitter pill to swallow.
Yeah, and guess what? Like I said, he would be the first person shilling for NBA Live. If NBA Live made, so he could keep his perks and whatnot. It's just absolutely ridiculous. Anyway, so about Andrew Wilson and what he said. You know, I've been saying this for a while. I think people need to really think big picture. A lot of people were like, oh, well, NBA Live is dead, or NBA Live is not coming back. Like you said, they had not only a good relationship with the NBA, but they have framework in place with what they did with NBA Live 19. And some of that stuff can probably be brought over as well to next gen. And NBA Live 19 was not like a negative release for them. You know, we talked about how they got like a 7 or something like that, or a 7+ from IGN. Some people were reviewing it well. There was some hype for it. They had something. There was something there.
And it's getting buzz now. It's getting buzz now.
Yeah. And it's getting buzz now. You know, patches did hurt the game. Patches did ruin the shooting. Patches did make the players feel heavier, etc. But what they had with the demo gameplay and what they had as a base behind all of that, you know, before all of that patching that hurt the game, there was something there that people liked, including me, who was uploading videos that got an incredibly favorable response, if you go back and look at them on my channel. So I think it would be I think it's almost silly to count them out as not coming back. Like, I believe Andrew Wilson that, like I said, they, you know, they have that relationship with the NBA. That relationship is strong. They've already said publicly that they were disappointed with how they've handled the NBA series. They even said that they didn't want to come back until next gen in order to make a super strong game and, you know, something, really something that they would be proud of and that the fans would love and everything. I think it's a no-brainer that we get an NBA Live this year or next year at the latest.
I do think we'll see that. I think we'll see if there is going to be a college game coming back. I'd love to see that too, especially now that it's more viable to import or possibly have a worldwide release. I don't think we'll see that for a few more years yet. As it is, we're not sure when college football is going to come, and I would imagine it's going to come a lot sooner than any as yet unannounced college basketball title, but certainly NBA Live seems to be in the works, much more likely to come back. It would be nice, as we've said before, if we heard a little bit more. We'd love to have a bit more confidence in the brand. But at the same time, I understand them not coming out and saying things before they have anything to actually say. Everything, you know, everything is done in the fullness of time, as cliche as that sounds. So I agree. I think we'll see it at some point. But as far as college basketball games are concerned, I would love to see that happen as well. And much as college football gamers are hoping that it's going to be a little bit different from Madden as far as mechanics, I do hope that if they do bring back college basketball as well, that obviously you're going to share some technology and good ideas should be shared between the basketball games if they are making both, but I would like to see the college basketball game stand out because with some kind of different mechanics that suit the style of college play, college basketball. Because going back and playing those games, and I want to spend some more time with College Hoops, the 2K game. I have been spending more with the EA games that I picked up for PS3. Being able to have those different mechanics like intensity and being able to do the taunts and things in the, which actually reminded me a lot of the celebrations that they brought back in Live 19, actually. So you can see how some of these ideas were done older than people think. But then having the tempo in particular, being able to control the pace of the game. And Live kind of had that with its own intensity meter and had rivalries and things that had the intensity would start much higher and it would affect the gameplay, but not to the same extent. But the little things like that could possibly work with the NBA games as well, but certainly with the college games. I'd love to see them as well because it was important for them to stand out and not just feel like a reskin. And that's not, again, not to disparage the efforts of modders who have done such a wonderful job of turning NBA games into college games, but you are limited by what's in the game as far as mechanics are concerned, whereas obviously EA developing the games can put those little touches in there that just make the college sports stand out a little bit more from the pros.
An atmosphere.
Very important.
One thing that EA Sports has done pretty well in the past is really get that atmosphere in there. Like NBA Live 16 has really good atmosphere. And some of the past, like the college basketball games in their past have had good atmosphere. I think that's just so crucial. And I expect EA Sports to do a good job with presentation, you know, as far as like all the chants go, you know, how into it the crowd is, all of that stuff. So, yeah, the atmosphere is crucial, and I think they'll do a good job with it. Speaking of NCAA Basketball 10 with Blake Griffin on the cover, and I talked about this earlier, and we don't have to get too much into this, but, you know, how ridiculous is it that Blake Griffin was rested tonight by the Detroit Pistons when the Pistons went, they're 5-17? I'm just so sick of NBA players resting.
You know, he hasn't registered a dunk yet this season. I mean, this is one of the guys that came into the league and hang his hat on his dunks, yeah. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, he turned down Hakeem Olajuwon's post-up camp years ago, and he should have gone, considering ever since his athleticism went, since he's 31 years old, it shouldn't have gone down this much, but it's definitely gone way down from just a couple years ago. You know, he can't even post up a guy like Drew Holiday. There's footage of that where he's just struggling. He can't even get in there, and he has poor footwork in the post. He can't really do anything with his back to the basket and whatnot. So he's a shell of his former self. But anyway, the point is, man, just all of these injuries, 25% roughly of the league injured on any given night, and all these rest days, and these guys even under the age of 26, Blake Griffin's 31, but under age 26 resting and all this stuff. Man, it just really hurts the product. I'll tell you, it really
evolution.
Hurts the product.
Gonna love it.
Yeah, quote unquote evolution, yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up because we brought up NCAA Basketball 10.
Indeed. Well, you know, hopefully we see more evolution on the virtual hardwood because that has been a problem with live, of course, is that as we've said before, that you look at some of the recent games and they haven't had some of the staples that games a couple of generations, that came in a couple of generations before them, that they've lacked features that they had.
Yeah, they've declined. Depth-wise, they've declined, and even in many ways, authenticity-wise.
So that's what's important moving forward. We'd love to see it. I do hope that... that Andrew Wilson's optimism is well-founded. Certainly, I know they have a couple of studios working on NBA level. Well, they did. They're talking about EA Sports Madrid helping out with that series, as well as Tiburon in Florida, of course. And, yeah, and college basketball, I think, is more of a pipe dream at the moment. NBA Live seems more feasible, more likely, but we do want to see more basketball games out there, more sim-oriented basketball games. Because, yeah, once again, our overall point that we say it a lot, but it's absolutely true, and we say it because there are people pushing back on it, as we discussed in this very episode, that there are people downplaying the need for competition, or simply choice, simply alternatives. It's just so important to have those. We want to see it happen, whether they're good or they're bad. We want to see them try. We want to see them succeed in the long run. And I think the only reason to push back on that is if you are hanging your hat on sticking to a particular brand and feeling superior and smug and trying to bash another brand and put them down, and that's what you've built your brand on, is being anti-this and pro-that. That's really the only reason, because it's going to benefit us all in the long run to have more companies try. Hey, I'd love to have somebody else apart, not just EA, but somebody else apart from EA and 2K. Whether Konami or anyone else were to throw their hat back into the ring, I'd love to see it.
Yeah, if you're a fanboy or a shill, you're hoping that NBA Live, you know, of 2K, or just, you know, just not very bright. You know, you're going to be hoping that NBA Live doesn't make a return. It makes no sense to wish against it, just to be honest. It makes absolutely no sense.
And I don't like the disingenuous, oh, I'd like to succeed. No, you clearly don't.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And but you said Konami, you know, how great would it be, because they did the reboot of Double Dribble, how cool would it be just to, like, a Double Dribble 2021? Like, or something like that, or, you know, 989 Sports is like, hey, guess what, we're coming back, and, you know, we get like an NBA shootout, you know, or maybe they bring back NCAA Final Four 2021, well, or, you know, NBA shootout 2021 or something.
I mean, let's not forget, Derek, that we do have a Double Dribble 2021 thanks to our good friends Josh and Dave from Nemo Gamer, and of course
That's very true. I mean, I was thinking more of like the, because I know Josh and Dave, if you're listening to this, if you ever get around to making, you know, the next step up from a graphic standpoint, like with the game I'm referencing is Double Dribble Playoff Edition, which was for Sega, one of my personal favorites from the past. If you ever get, you know, get interested and actually get the motivation to make the next step up, that would be awesome. I would love to see it. So no, you're right. That is kind of a Double Dribble esque game in 2021, but it would be cool if they went the next step up and did like Super NES or Sega graphics.
We just need to get that second NLSC squad in the game so you can be in there officially.
Right, exactly. I'm still waiting for my face in Basketball Classics. Now I'm an NLSC team member. No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to add me. But if you do, give me a
that being said, we won't say no at the same time.
Right, exactly. I will send you a form that says what my rating should be.
Yeah, well, I mean, the NBA players do it these days, so why not? a lot of politics in the ratings, I believe.
Jesus, yeah, definitely.
But that is a topic for another time, and we have reached the end of our discussion of this week's news. Yes, we certainly do hope that for the best for college basketball and NBA Live, and of course for college football gamers as well. It's cool to see, and hopefully there's more good news moving forward. Hey, once again, hope we want the best for 2K as well, Derek. We want basketball gaming to thrive and to be enjoyable for as many people as possible.
People don't need to understand this, and I hope they get this from listening to this podcast. Do you have any idea the amount of, you know, memories that I've created and you've created with NBA 2K titles? You know, I was just talking about the season we just finished and spent hundreds of hours on at the onset of this podcast with NBA 2K17. And I've even talked about how I've gotten some enjoyment out of NBA 2K21, and we're 30 games into a season on that and everything. There's still some great things about 2K, but that doesn't mean everything is great.
No.
And, you know, and it doesn't mean that the business practices are right or that they're fair to gamers and all of that stuff. I want both companies, EA Sports and 2K, or anybody else who comes in there, to just make a great and fair basketball title, something that's great, that's really fun to play, that gives people options, and that from a microtransaction standpoint or DLC standpoint is fair to gamers. I don't care who the company is. I don't care, and neither do you. We just want great options. There is no benefit to us hating one company. There's no hate. There's no benefit to us, you know, hoping a company doesn't do well or anything like that, or creates a poor game or something like that. We just want, that would be pointless for us to come on and just hate on a company just because we want to hate on them.
Well, we're not, so, getting, yeah, we're not getting perks, to, so then that's the other issue.
Well, that's probably because we hate on them. we just want great basketball games, and it doesn't matter who makes them.
That's the bottom line.
Exactly. We want to make memories with these video games. We want as many people out there as possible to make positive memories with them.
And so that brings us to the mailbag segment of this week's show. Always a segment that we enjoy since we brought it back. We have a couple of more great questions this week. We repurposed a couple of them in our main discussion topic this week. We hope you enjoyed us touching on those issues. But yeah, of course, if you want to submit to the NLC podcast mailbag, you can send in emails to now, podcast@nba-live.com. Reply to our bulletins about it on social media, or any time. You don't need to wait for us to put out the call. You can hit us up at any time if you have suggestions about what you want us to talk about, questions you'd like us to answer. However you'd like to put it towards us, we'll put it in the mailbag or repurpose it for a discussion, or be sure to touch on it during a discussion. But with that being said, we do have a couple more questions this week to get to, Derek, or topic suggestions as the case may be. This comes from Plump Papa Koala. Shout out to you. I know we've had this in the bag for a couple of weeks, so we're eager to get to it. It's talking about the about G League in or G League mode, and G League being in a part of what is now MyNBA. It was Association in My League before. Believes they need to make a G League mode as its own proper feature with a proper season, accurate rosters, players, etc. Notes that they have the license, so they could make more of it, including the draft, the rosters, contracts, the actual players, or have, much like the college games, be able to edit the player names. And just says basically the games are more expensive now, is that we had that price hike on the current generation, or the new generation, whatever you want to call it, PS5, Xbox Series X, and saying, yes, there's a need to have more modes, new content and stuff to play with. You know, it's great that they have the G League mode, the G League in the in MyNBA, and being able to actually play the games now is, I think, a very important addition that just expands that mode. But the idea of a standalone G League mode, especially since, of course, they've added the W and MyWNBA and everything, Derek, I mean, at one point I would have said it seems unlikely to be a separate mode, but if they have that mode and have it integrated with MyNBA, yeah, I think there's certainly, it's an interesting idea at the very least.
I mean, we've talked about, how many times have we talked about that they haven't even scratched the surface of what they can do with games, right? With basketball video games, there's just so much more they can still do. And that's one of them. They could
absolutely, like, yeah,
separate G League mode, and like, they already have the licensing for it and whatnot. I think you have a problem with having accurate rosters because there's so many players in and out of the G League. But I figure that's still something that could still, you know, possibly take place, because those G League teams still have start of the season rosters. right? So you could still put those together. They have the two-way contracts already in NBA 2K where you can, you know, put them as a two-way player and whatnot. So really it comes down to, do they have, you know, would they make that a priority? Do they have the possible time and resources to put into that, the man hours and whatnot, to get that all looking good and accurate, kind of like they did with the WNBA mode? Because their WNBA mode is awesome. Let's be honest. What they did with the WNBA mode is way better than what NBA Live did. NBA 2K did a 10 times better job with it, with accuracy whatnot. The way
as far as avoiding microtransactions, it's better than what 2K did with the NBA side of things, quite frankly. So from that perspective, anyway.
Right, exactly, 100%. So, yeah, no, I think it's a great idea. I think that it would all depend, because they already have the licensing, it all depend on if they would make it a priority. You know, they already have so much in the game right now, as far as the WNBA, and then for the NBA side, the all-time team, the classic all-time teams, classic teams. They brought back college teams for the My Career, like you had stated, etc. So how much of a priority could they possibly make that? So we'll see.
And like you said, there are some hurdles there as far as players being in and out. It might be difficult to license, so you might end up with having generic players or a mix of generic players and players that are two-way players on two-way contracts, because they can be included, obviously. So you might have to have some workarounds there, and that is a bit difficult, but it's definitely doable, and it would be fun to have the content of the game. Like you say, it's the priority, it's putting the effort into it. You know, you bring up the all-time teams, you bring up the retro teams and whatnot. It's great to have them in the game. Don't get me wrong, I'd much rather have them in the game as they are than not have them at all. But certainly when you look at the lack of effort as far as ratings, you've gone into this many times into detail on Twitter and on the podcast, the lack of care to the ratings and the tendencies and all the attributes of those historical players, plus the missing players, plus the players that they could license but they refuse to put in the game for whatever reason. I think it was like a Keith Bogans or someone that they, it's like, yeah, I'll totally be in the game, but they haven't reached out to him. I think for the
that happened with several times, but Keith Bogans is one of them. But yeah, what, you know, what you just said about the roster stuff, which I've called out in threads and shown screenshots of proof and everything, they can't even, those are a mess.
Yeah,
the all-time teams and the regular classic teams are an absolute joke. In inaccuracies as far as you know, as far as the attributes, the tendencies, the signatures, all of that stuff. It's just a complete rush job, and if they don't have even enough hours that they're going to dedicate to that, to content that's already in the game and content that they promote and whatnot, that's what makes me wonder if they would even consider it. But let's be honest, the reason what they've been getting away with that for years, and they use that to promote the game, and people buy the game for that content. So any way that 2K thinks that they can make money, I wouldn't put it past them. So it's possible that they just leave those retro rosters like they did for next gen NBA 2K21 in shambles, looking completely inaccurate. And then, you know, for 2K22 or 2K23, whenever, if they decide to do the G League thing, they were like, oh, you know what, we'll just we want to promote this as a new feature and just put it in there.
That's the disappointing thing is that, as I said, it's better to have the retro teams than not, because at least if they're in the game, the assets are there, there's something to work with, you can fix it. It's a big job, but it's there. It's better than not at all, I feel. I mean, some people might feel otherwise, that if it's not done properly, it's not worth having, but I'd still rather have it there than not. But to that point, I also agree that if you do want to do it, we don't want to see another, with all due respect, half-assed effort to a G League mode. They have obviously gone all out doing things with MyNBA and My League in the previous generation, MyGM, and My Career, obviously, and they put a lot into My Team, whether it's all good stuff, and there's just stuff with recurrent revenue mechanics and whatnot that's a problem, but as far as a lot of the bones of the mode are quite good, and certainly with the association modes and the franchise modes that they've done, the detail is there, but you would definitely want it to be more like that and not suffer the same fate as some of the retro teams that have fallen by the wayside there. Actually, to that point, Derek, I was playing My Team, and I was playing with Ralph Sampson, because he's a collectible card, obviously, and he had some challenges, so I was doing that to get the XP, to get further rewards and whatnot, advance in that aspect of the mode. And I was playing against Triple Threat offline, so I randomly put together squads against my squad of three, and I was trying to guard Bryant Reeves, who was a fine player, but not the most athletic player, with Ralph Sampson. And Bryant Reeves was just sprinting all over the court, and while Ralph Sampson was just lumbering along. Ralph Sampson is slower in the game than Bryant Reeves, which is just ridiculous. Just ridiculous and wrong. And I know there's still some lingering legacy issues there with the CPU being able to go a couple of steps quicker, but it was beyond that. I was just trying to sprint with Ralph Sampson after Bryant Reeves, and he was just lumbering up the court, and Reeves is just running like David Robinson. It's ridiculous.
Ralph Sampson was incredibly athletic.
Exactly, yeah. Not in 2K.
His legs and whatnot. Yeah, he was incredibly athletic, and he could stay with guards on the perimeter at 7'4". He was very good laterally. He was a very good defender, actually. Twin Towers. But that's the thing. And I was talking about this in the thread, and to talk about this quite a bit with my brother, and I talked about it with you. It's so bad how they underdo players from, retro players and whatnot on speed, acceleration, quickness, etc. They have Michael Finley at like a 67 on speed. Finley.
Mm. Yeah.
That means he's slow. Like, he runs slow on the court. He was very athletic. Michael Finley was really good on the fast break. They have Dirk Nowitzki with a 25 on speed with ball. 25, the 0203 Dirk. Do you know how slow 25 speed with ball is in that game?
That's the lowest you possibly get, yeah.
That's the lowest you can get, etc. So they're completely rushed. They completely disrespect the retro teams, the classic players and all of that stuff, right down to the signatures where they have people who had, like, got way up, did, like, super jump shots. They have these guys shooting set shots with the ball right in front of their face, etc. So here's the sad part, though, because I want to get back to the question. Here's the really sad part. I believe that we would get a full G League mode, even if it was half-assed, a full G League mode in the game before they fix those retro roster issues.
Yeah.
And that's
most likely. That's, I mean, those have been going on for a while now. And, it's obviously we've talked about representing the past and bashing the past to prop up the future, the present, rather, and we've talked about that on this and, of course, on Holding Court as well. But it's not even just that, because, like I say, Bryant Reeves is, once again, an older player as well, not quite the same, a more recent generation than Ralph Sampson was. But again, it's that discrepancy of why does Bryant Reeves have David Robinson-like athletic ratings and Ralph Sampson doesn't. And this is in my team, where,
it's a lack of balance and a lack of authenticity.
A lack of care. Yeah. And so that's my concern with any kind of mode that they're going to put in there, that the G League is just not going to be balanced. And of course, you do want it to be balanced to a certain extent if it is integrated with MyNBA, because presumably you'll be able to get players up and down from that if it's kind of a full mode within MyNBA or a separate mode. I suppose if it's a separate mode, you can kind of have that. But then how do you have different ratings? I mean, you don't want a whole G League of players rated in the 60s. I don't think that'd be very fun to play with.
Yeah, it might be a little bit more accurate if they did that, just because, like you said, they already have some pieces in the NBA portion of the game, but also because that's what they spend a little bit more time on. Sure, there's some inaccuracies, there's some ridiculous things, like I know Doncic had like a zero on step back three and whatnot, but at the same time, they do spend a little bit more time on the current teams and the now NBA, because that's what they want to promote. Right.
Absolutely,
and those are the people who are on Twitter and saying something like, hey, I'll never forget Daniel Tice. And I think this was with 2K19. He booted up 2K19 and saw that he was a generic player. Like, he was a cap in the roster. So he tweeted out, NBA 2K, what the hell is up with this? And he showed a screenshot of his cap. So, see, they can get called out on a lot of BS, or if it's blatantly obvious BS, by current players or, players who are currently in the G League and stuff like that. So, like you said, it is very possible that it's going to be a bit more accurate just because it's based on that.
Definitely, definitely. But, they have talked about this before, and they have brought back the G League in its capacity. And they've pointed out that the reason they haven't done too much with it in the past is And we've talked about to this with Sean O'Brien as well, about the possibility of doing this in NBA Live. And as he pointed out, it all comes down to the amount of interest. And we've seen them lose features. And it's kind of, it's been an excuse for them at times to drop good features, I'm sure. But obviously, popularity matters, use matters, and they have to assign their resources and time being a resource, obviously, efficiently and as well as they possibly can. So if there's not enough interest in a standalone G League mode, that's going to be the biggest. And if there's, especially if there's not enough people playing the G League games in MyNBA, it's probably not going to lead to that, because I can understand that. I can understand them prioritizing certain things. But that being said, they do have that framework there, so they could find a way to make it work. And look, I'm not against it at all. I think any kind of extra content, especially for single-player offline use, is beneficial, because there's obviously so much that goes into the online modes and recurrent revenue mechanics as far as extra features and extra content like clothing, player clothing, things that don't really or shouldn't affect the experience, but they do because they become makeshift matchmaking. Whole other topic right there. There's so much attention placed into there that to get any kind of boost to that single-player experience is so welcome. So while I'm not sure that it'll necessarily happen anytime soon, but like you say, it'll probably happen before we get a quick, complete overhaul to the historical rosters, while I don't think it's imminent, I'm absolutely for it.
I hate empty depth. I just want to point that out. I hate flawed or empty depth. I hate something that's shiny that they dangle in front of your face, like, oh, like, we have these teams, like, we added these classic teams. Oh, people get excited about, oh, look, we added this new classic team, and then you, like, play with them, and, like, there's nothing accurate about them.
Yeah, so it's frustrating, yeah.
Yeah, I can't stand it.
So thank you for that question, Plump Papa Koala, at Koala Plump on Twitter, of course, and, yeah, definitely appreciate that. Next question is from another frequent listener, is DZulu, Debo Khan on Twitter. Shout out to you once again. Bringing up the idea again of what would it take to invoke real change with the NBA 2K series. And I'll read out some of the other question here. Do we have enough voices to invoke real change for the NBA 2K series? And if so, what are some real ways to be heard? Do console developers and NBA partners care about what's going on with 2K's money grab with the online park? Are the right entities aware of the lack of attention to detail? For example, would Steve Ballmer take issue with kids and parents being bled dry by 2K's tactics? Would Adam Silver care that great players like Glenn Rice weren't characterized properly? So it's all kind of the same topic here. So it's why we've put these questions together, because they are pertinent issues, as we've discussed before. So yeah, voices for real change, Derek, and you know, do the people who perhaps should care, do they care?
Well, first off, I want to say that I appreciate the questions. Me and DZulu are on the same page with a lot of different stuff, with like roster inaccuracies, and he's on top of that as well. So appreciate the questions. As far as NBA 2K taking it seriously, like basically taking the complaint seriously and whatnot, and actually, you know, having incentive to up their game, I think number one needs to be competition. I really do. I think that there needs to be another competitor in the space. Like, there used to be multiple competitors. There needs to be somebody that creates a game that does it right, that is more fair to the gamer, that has a heavier focus on accuracy, that people get excited about, that people possibly flock to, where they see something doesn't look right on their bottom line, right? That they don't get the guaranteed 10 plus million downloads every year because they're the only basketball game option, right? How many times you heard that people say that they buy NBA 2K, but they don't really enjoy it, but it's the only option for them. So I think it's going to have that. That would be number one. I think actually getting a true competitor in the space to make them up their game and question their business tactics and whatnot, I think that would be number one. As far as what can we do, the biggest problem is it's really hard to go viral, right? And the reason is because you have to have somebody who already has a lot of followers and a lot of influence promote what you said. And this is true almost 100% of the time. So like my roster thread, what, I get a couple thousand views? Or I mean a couple thousand likes and whatnot, maybe 2,000 or 3,000. that is not putting – you think that that threat alone is going to make them make, like, all the changes, that it's going to make them jump on it? We already saw what happened. All of those, like, errors are basically in the next-gen version, the ones that I pointed out and whatnot. The problem is that I sent that tweet out, and I showed all of those inaccuracies, but nobody who has a big following retweeted that. Nobody who has a big following wrote an article on that. Nobody made, in my YouTube video, didn't get that many views either. Nobody made it so it made a big enough stink. And you know as well as I do that no wholesale changes are going to be made unless they feel like it's going to hit, they're going to hurt, it's going to hurt their bottom line. So, yeah, that's the biggest problem is, how do somebody like DZulu, how does somebody like me, or on Twitter, I'm D43, how does somebody like Andrew Begley impact real change in these games? And it's just a tough spot to be in because, in a way, you know, the people who have voices, they have us cornered, right? There, a lot of them are compromised. They write reviews for review sites. They don't want to make a stink where it could affect their job. All of that stuff. We've seen this time and time again. You even wrote an article on Shills and all of that stuff. People don't want to lose their perks, etc. Influencers don't want to lose their mayor status. They don't want to lose, you know, it's so ridiculous. They don't want to lose, you know, all the income they get from their YouTube views and all of that stuff. So it's a tough spot to be in. The only thing that I can say before I throw it over to you to answer this question, the only thing that I can say is don't give up. I would continue tagging those people on social media, the people that you know that work for the company. I would continue bringing facts, not just a quick statement, you know, bringing facts, bring screenshots, bring examples, say how you would change things, continue to tag those people, do it on different platforms and all of that stuff. And maybe, just maybe, somebody with a huge following, somebody who has, you know, maybe 100,000 or more followers on Twitter or something like that, maybe they'll share it or maybe they'll write an article on it and maybe that will make them do something.
I agree 100%. And to your point about it being difficult to go viral, it certainly is. It's very hard to get the gaming community as a whole to care about issues with sports games, because people say, well, that's just the way sports games are, which is kind of right, but at the same time, it's wrong that we just throw up our hands and accept our fate in that regard. So it's definitely hard for those issues to get traction. You look at something like Star Wars Battlefront with EA Sports and what they were trying to do with their microtransactions and whatnot, and that gains traction. But stuff with 2K, things like Anti-Up, which is a literal gambling mechanic in the game, it doesn't even really get mentioned that much among basketball gamers. So these issues do get swept under the rug, and when they're getting swept under the rug, they're not going to go viral, they're not going to get the attention, the pressure's not going to be there. To that point, I definitely agree with you saying we should never give up. We should just keep putting it out there, because there is always a possibility. If you don't try, you know you won't succeed. I mean, we may not succeed if we try, but we know what the result's going to be if we don't. It's frustrating because you are working against kind of what I feel, you know, it's what we've been talking about all episode, actually, going back to our main discussion. As you say, we need the competition, and we need people to not shill. We need people with influence to use their influence for good. The problem is, if they try to, they lose that influence. So you're kind of asking people to really put their neck out for their fellow gamers, which, look, you and I, we're happy to do it, but we don't have the following that other people do, and we're not making thousands and millions of dollars off our content, so we're less likely to jeopardize it, and that's the big problem.
That's why we don't have that following, right?
I mean, that's because that's the catch-22 with it, and it does make it harder. So, like you say, we just have to keep trying and hope that it is, as far as getting to the right voices. It really is going to have to come with down to someone with influence in the gaming sphere, sports, basketball, gaming sphere, but even maybe the wider community. But the thing is, even Jim Sterling, they've talked about it as well. They've mentioned 2K, specifically. And you pointed some of Jim's videos you posted on Twitter recently, illustrating that point. But it just doesn't get that traction, as I said. So it is very difficult. As far as entities like NBA Partners and Steve Ballmer, I mean, this is going to sound very cynical, but Steve Ballmer's a billionaire. I don't think he's going to really care about microtransactions. Is he still with Microsoft, or is he former Microsoft? What's his current Microsoft status?
I don't know. I have no idea. I'll be honest with you. I don't think he gives a crap. And as he does seem to have that great nice personality, but you got to remember, he's a billionaire for a reason. I just want to point that out.
Yeah.
He's making money because what does he love? And what does he care about? Money.
Yeah.
That's what he cares about.
I absolutely agree. I think whatever his status is, as you say, I don't think the billionaires are kind of looking out for that kind of stuff. That's how they make their money. That kind of stuff. So, unfortunately, I don't think he's going to be the hero, the champion of the common man in this, or the common gamer in this situation, unfortunately.
Can I bring up an example? So, DZulu, I want you to think about this. What happened the one time a company tried to give 2K a free rating? They gave a review of a free. What happened? They immediately, 2K immediately reached out and tried to get them to change the rating.
We have some concerns.
They immediately reached out. And do you know why? Why did that happen? Because that review got popular. Because it did make some noise. And people couldn't believe that they got rated a 3. So 2K reached out to them and said, hey, we want you to change this. And see, that's the problem, the pressure, the bullying, the shilling, if you're not 2K themselves, the bullying, the whole, that aspect of it. So I want you to think about that when you think about, you know, why this stuff doesn't get big, why it doesn't get popular, why all of these issues allowed to be in every release, because 2K or the shills who get their perks from 2K or want to keep their jobs or their perks and all of that stuff, they're not going to shine light on these issues, and they're not going to allow light to be shined on these issues in a big way. So that's a good example right there of what happens when you actually shine light on an issue and it gets popular. They try to shut you down immediately.
Absolutely. As far as Adam Silver, look, I'm not going to speculate as to how he feels about the past and representing past players properly, except to say that I think he's probably got more important issues running the league day to day that it probably isn't on his radar. I mean, to put it this way, the minutiae of some of the incorrect ratings and whatnot in 2K doesn't even register with hardcore gamers. So is it going to register with Adam Silver? Unfortunately, and I do not say this to mock you, DZulu. It'd be nice if he did, but unfortunately, it's asking him to take an interest in an area that's he's got people for that, I suppose. Unfortunately, the most powerful people we can think of in gaming or in the NBA circles, I don't think it really is on their radar to look at these ratings and say, well, this is wrong. And the Nick Van Exel has, who does Nick Van Exel have? Do you have a LeBron's dunk package or something like that?
Yeah, Nick Van Exel has a standing. No, he's a copy and paste of Vince Carter in
That's
many ways.
Right,
but he's also for a long time, and I think he might still has Sean Marion's free throw too, stuff like that. I mean, and which by the way is ridiculous. I want to point something out though, because you brought up Adam Silver. I think you're thinking too big. You know, guys that are absolutely going to have no chance of responding to this or caring about it. I think you need to think about something like the Retired Players Association.
Yeah.
Has a much better chance of getting a response from something like the Retired Players Association.
Or the NBA players themselves. I mean, possibly.
Right, even at that point. Right, exactly. Or tag NBA players themselves to see if they... Because, by the way, if you tag an NBA player and you say, hey, listen... This is what they made your shot. This is what they made your signature shot. This is what they made your ratings. This is nothing. This guy plays nothing like you. Look what they underdid you on. And then that NBA player actually interacts with, former NBA player interacts with the tweet or the current NBA player. You could get a lot of exposure on it at that point.
You think of Kevin Durant has brought up some issues with 2K before, and it kind of 2K is Teflon in a lot of these lot of ways.
Yeah, so vague. Like, his were just like, man, fast breaks. He says playing defense in this defense in transition is tough. Like, he'll say something like that. Like, that's not going to be wholesale changes or anything like that. That's not something, But, you know, again, I think that one of the ways you could do something like this is reach out to, like, you, that's a great point. You know, current players or former players where you see all these ridiculous inaccuracies or the disrespect and whatnot. And even the Retired Players Association, they have a Twitter account. You can even write to them. There's a way to write to the Retired Players Association and whatnot. Go out, you know, tell them. Maybe do, like, you know, if you really want to make change, and I know you're passionate about this as well, use some of the examples that I put in my thread. I tagged them in that thread, by the way. Tagged them. So just to let you know. But, you know, maybe put together I don't want to call it a portfolio, but
presentation?
Like put together a presentation together with screenshots that shows all these issues and inaccuracies and let them know that you're concerned about it, that you think it's disrespectful to the players and it's disrespectful to the players of the past, etc. So that's just my opinion. Like, there are ways where you can try to influence change, but they really make it tough.
They do. And again, we do need those influential voices to stand with their fellow gamers and the quality of the games over their own self-interest. And it's hard to balance that, and it's a big ask, because it's easy for us to say, hey, influencer, throw away all those perks, you know, for this. So I get it. And I've been there, never to the extent that they have, but I know I've been there when EA was more active with content creators like myself that back in the day. And of course, it's, you know, you wouldn't want to give up that access and everything. I understand that. But back then, you were able to give constructive feedback and be honest about it. They wanted it. They asked for it. So times have changed in that regard. But it is hard without those influential voices. And to your point about the thinking too big picture, I mean, we always talk about thinking about the bigger picture, but as far as the big names, you know, we talk about things being above somebody's pay grade. Stuff like this is below their pay grade, at the end of the day, unfortunately, for us, because of the influence they wield. But, again, a Steve Ballmer is not going to be looking at the fact that Dick Van Exel has Vince Carter's dunk package or something like that, and neither is Adam Silver. They've got bigger things to worry about. They've got people to worry about, stuff like that. And even those people aren't that worried about it because, you know, they're looking at, is 2K complying with what we want out of the agreement? Are they paying their dues? Are we getting the most out of this investment? And that kind of stuff isn't hurting the bottom line. So unfortunately, it just is going to take people. The game is really rebelling against the game. The influencers pointing out these issues and standing up for their fellow gamer and standing up for the quality of the experience. It's going to take a real bad scandal, possibly getting some traction, certainly with the microtransactions and things like that. And of course, it's, as people point out, and I fought back against this in my article about its business is not an excuse, which it absolutely isn't. But at the same time, these practices are very commonplace. So it's unfortunately, we're not going to be able to... it's going to take a competition of NBA Live doing well and not doing microtransactions. And you know, even that's a big if Live gets to where they need to be, that they'd completely avoid that. EA after all. You know, that's what it's going to take to change the culture there, or change the approach to the business. Or it's going to take people just completely, the bubble bursting on microtransactions. It's going to take a huge shift. Now, I don't think one person with influence is going to really care, not just care about enough, but I don't think that change is going to come from just one person like that. Maybe they get the ball rolling. Maybe I'm being too cynical, but no. I think it's below their pay grade to care, and it's change is going to have to come somewhere else. But to that point, you know, to end it on a more positive note, as you said, Derek, if we do keep pointing this out, sometimes it can gain traction. The person who starts the movement may not ever get credit for it, but if in the long run change happens for the better, because we're all speaking up about it and it just gains too much traction, that's what it matters in the long run. I mean, I'm sure it's nice to be able to put your hand up and say, that was me. I pointed those things out, and I've been saying this for years, and it's, you know, difficult to feel not to feel miffed when you don't get the credit for starting that movement. But at the same time, if the movement succeeds, at the end of the day, we all benefit from that. So we can but try. And I think it's, once again, if we try, we can at least say we tried. If we do nothing and sit back and just do nothing but grumble and never try to be proactive about this, then we know what the result's going to be.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to bring something up, too. As far as the classic teams, as far as like I mentioned earlier, the speed and acceleration and all of that stuff being as low as it is, for players, just unrealistically slow and everything. You got to remember that their job and what they're supposed to be doing, I mean, what they think they're supposed to be doing and whatnot, is propping up today's NBA at all costs. You see it with the way they advertise. You see the way they talk about it on debate shows, quote unquote debate shows, stage debate shows like Shannon Sharpe and Skip Bayless and whatnot. Is what their goal is to make everything now look better. That's just the way it is. You see it on the video game. You see it in real life. So, you know, certain things that you point out, they're going to say is by design. So not they're not going to say we're intentionally crapping on past errors, but they'll say, you know what? Well, we've evolved. Players are bigger, faster, stronger. Your players are back then are going to be slower, all of that stuff. It's all of the BS we deal with real basketball. I think some of that influences what they do with the video game. So, like, making Dirk a 25 on speed with ball, when you actually watch Dirk back there in the early 2000s, flying up and down the court with the ball, just to let you know as well. But, you know, making Dirk as slow as he is, and like the issues you said with Ralph Sampson, hey, you know what? That's what they do that. And in my opinion, a lot of it is ignorance maybe from the roster makers. That could be part of it. But also, it might even be by design. Certain things with speed and whatnot.
That's true. So it just, yeah. It's an uphill battle. And it always has been. Yeah. But the point is, I guess we do keep trying to push that rock up the hill as much as we can.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, in like you just said, make your voice heard, and if you're passionate about it, don't give up. You know, you've seen me, you see the way what I do on Twitter as far as defending the classic NBA, you know, teams and players and whatnot, and, you know, talking about the issues with NBA 2K and NBA Live as well. Just don't stop fighting if you're passionate about it.
Definitely. Absolutely. Just keep trying, and to that point, we'll keep recording this show every week and putting our voices out there, and when we have the opportunity to speak on behalf of our fellow gamers, because that is the biggest issue, that my biggest pet peeve, perhaps, with on top of everything else, with influencers who don't do this, is you're in a position to represent your fellow gamer, to do good for these games, and to both be helpful to the developers and your fellow gamers, and you're just looking for clout. And the perks, and you're looking to be, you're taking pleasure in being that voice that people listen to, but you're not using that voice for good. And I had no respect for that.
No, me neither. But I do want to make a point. You alluded to this too. Is sometimes you almost understand it when, you know, if you're a kid or you're a teenager, which is a lot of the influencers out there, or you're in your early 20s or something like that, and you know it's all about quote unquote, I hate this word, clout. And you want to put your name out there, and you see people like Troy Den, who's posting like new houses he's buying and building a indoor basketball court, right? And he's talking about this money that he has from, you know, I never thought I'd be working for a video, you know, being like a promoter for a video game company or working for 2K or anything like that. But here I am, and I have all this money. If you see that, and that's what you're looking for and whatnot, I can see how you can be influenced to just do whatever it takes in order to make that money. It doesn't make it right, but I understand if you're a kid, right? Or you're a young adult. One of my biggest problems with this is a lot of these people who are doing this are reviewers too. And they're not kids, and they're not young adults. And some of them are in their 30s and whatnot. And some of them are in their 40s. And some of these people, Troyden himself is actually in his 30s. But I think he's 32 or 33. But a lot of these people who pull this crap and stuff, and you know, just to keep their perks, or they won't talk about certain issues and all of that stuff, they're adults.
Yeah.
Like, and they're not like young adults either.
It's
they're
not
like
setting
adults.
A good example. It's not setting a good example. So.
It's setting a terrible example, right.
So, you know, not to be too cliche, but it is what it is. But that being said, if we don't try and try and invoke change, then, you know, we're just accepting the status quo as is. So we can at least try and hope that there will be a change, but it's an uphill battle. But I think we recognize that. But nevertheless, we will continue to speak out. We do thank you, DZulu, for that question. We encourage you to keep speaking up, because as you said, Derek, I think we're all on the same page with him on a lot of those issues with rosters and whatnot, and certainly the You know, I've spoken in articles and on the podcast about microtransactions and whatnot, and how I don't believe, oh, it's a business, or oh, everybody does it, is a good thing. You know, it's the old, if everybody was jumping off a cliff, would that make it a good idea? You know, to change up the old idiom there. But yeah, thank you for the question. And as far as the mailbag goes, once again, we encourage you to send in those topic suggestions and questions each and every week. Once again, you can send them now to podcast@nba-live.com. You can also send them in via social media. Basically, anywhere people can get in touch with us, Derek, they can send it in and we'll look at it and, yeah, keep it in mind.
Yeah, thank you so much for the questions. And we now have some still in the bag for future episodes as well. So if we didn't get to your question this week, we will certainly get to it or try to get to it next week.
Absolutely. But that has brought us to the end of episode number 361 of the NLC podcast. Thank you for the questions. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed this week's show. The show comes out every Sunday, of course, on the NLSC, which is nba-live.com. More so on all the major podcatching apps and platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and so on. Search for the NLC podcast, look for our logo, and that will be us. Feel free to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Hopefully 5 stars if you enjoyed the show. But as long as you're tuning in each and every week and enjoying the show, that's the main thing, because you're supporting us in what we do, and we love doing the show for you each and every week. With that being said, Derek, it's the end of the show, so it's time for us to plug things.
Absolutely. You can find me on Twitter at D4384. That's where I'm most active, on the NLSC D4-3, my YouTube channel, which I need to upload a new video at some point soon, D4-3, and also you can listen to my podcast, Holding Court with D4-3.
Definitely connect with D on those platforms and check out all his content. And yes, it's always fun to get on with you and talk about some real basketball from time to time on Holding Court. As for me, you can follow me on Twitter at AndrewNLSC. The NLSC itself is on Twitter and Facebook at the NLSC. Instagram is NLSC Basketball. YouTube, and I also have to get back to some content there as well, is NBA Live Series Center. And of course, give a look to the NLSC itself, nba-live.com, for everything we do for basketball video games. But yes, that's all for this week, so thank you once again for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Derek.
Go get buckets, everyone.